Welcome to Syntax. Today we have a fitness for developers episode. We're going to be talking all about getting in shape and why you as a developer might want to go to the gym, or why you might want to be working out, and nutrition, and motivation, supplements, all kinds of interesting stuff. So it's going to be awesome. We did this show probably, I don't know, 3-4 years ago. I think we're due for another one. Certainly a lot has changed in my fitness journey, and Scott certainly knows a lot about this as well. So excited to talk on about it. How you doing today, Scott?
Hey, I'm doing super good. And actually, Wes, I believe we were doing at one point an annual fitness show. We did Fitness and Nutrition as episode 20, Fitness for Developers as episode 84. And then, as you'll get into, kind of around the pandemic, I would put a fitness show on the calendar, and you'd be like, I'm not really doing anything. Probably not a whole lot to talk about here. So I'm stoked that it's back on the calendar. We're going to get into why you shouldn't ignore this episode too, as a developer. This is one of those things where it's really quite easy. You'd be like, I only care about code. I don't care about this kind of stuff. I think it's definitely going to be worth the listen. We'll talk a little bit about why it's important, but let's say your code's getting a little too small. Maybe you want Sentry in your corner to let you know that your code is really beefing up lately, and you got to slim it down so that way you can make sure your applications can fit through the door. That's right. They are loading fast and they're nice and spry. That's what we want our applications. We want them supple and spry, me personally. So if you want all that, head on over to Sentry.io. You can get a ton of performance tracking features. In fact, that's going to be even more important now with Google's changes that are coming to make sure that your applications rank high because they are quick and fast. So what's up, Wes? How's it going?
Not much. Excited to talk about fitness and gear. And I've become a gym gear. I built a home gym a couple, eight months ago. And I've become a gearhead for all of this gym stuff, and it's a really interesting area. And we'll talk about the actual gear in a bit, but I went in the deep end and I absolutely love it.
Yeah, I am going to warn you here because I know that you are not newer to this stuff, but you might not know gear in the fitness and lifting world is often referring to steroids.
I know all about that too. Not that I do that, but yeah, that's probably not a good thing to call myself a fitness gearhead. Yeah, that's I appreciate that.
To be clear, none of us are on performance enhancing drugs. I think that's pretty clear from looking at us, but definitely something to be cautious about. If you can't say juice and you can't say gear. I'm not juicing.
Yeah, that's
I'm not on gear.
I say those things a lot in my day to day. So yeah. Certainly.
Be careful with those. Quick disclaimer. Wes and I are not trained fitness professionals or doctors. These are just
I'm a doctor. A code doctor.
Okay. I'm a doctor of bugs using Sentry, but do not take any of this advice as if we were actually doctors or fitness professionals. Do your own research. Yes, we don't want anybody getting hurt. Me personally, let's talk about some history really quick with our fitness stuff, because it's been a little while. Like you said, it's since the last time we talked about this stuff was episode 84. So give you some background. I've been moving my whole life. I played all the sports as a kid, played soccer, roller hockey and that stuff. I started rollerblading, like aggressive inline, when I was like in fifth grade or so, and eventually became like a sponsored skater and was living at the skate park, like every day moving, right? Then in 2004, I started dancing. I've been dancing ever since then, even if my body has gotten beaten up from it. I've suffered many injuries, but I've been dancing a long time at this point. I still make it part of my weekly life. And then on top of that, I started lifting in 2011, and I've been weightlifting maybe 3-4 days a week forever and ever. So I've been lifting a long time. Your goals change, your progression changes. But at this point, I have a lot of experience there, and I've been grinding out those gym sessions ever since then. So yeah, big fan. It's always part of my life now, to the point where if I don't do it in the week, I'm feeling like I'm really missing it. So it's gotten to the point where like it's firmly ingrained in both who I am and like what I do.
Yeah, that feeling of wanting to go back to it is like I've just got off of a week of vacation, and I hadn't worked out in a week now, and I'm cannot wait tonight. Once the kids go to bed, I cannot wait to go back to the gym and get at it, which is an odd thing that I never thought I would say, but certainly I've got to that space. So for me, I've had like when I was in university, I would go to the gym and work out quite a bit, and I got in a decent shape then. And then probably about 2019 or so, I got back into it. I had a gym nice and close to my house, and I got in pretty good shape then as well. But when the pandemic hit, obviously the gym's closed, life gets crazy, and I sort of let that slide, and I gained a bunch of weight, and then we moved houses, and we didn't move houses. Our gym closed completely, which was a bit of a bummer as well, and I didn't really stay on top of it. However, we moved houses, and now I built a home gym, which I'm a gearhead now, and I've been at it for about 6 months. I've lost a bunch of weight, still a little bit more to go, and thank you. Thank you. I'm getting super into like the whole just like lifting heavy things. It's very primal, but also spent a bunch of money to do primal things. And it's good. Like maybe we'll transition that to the next section, which is like why would you want to do this? And for me, it's just like about like two things. Like first is like the focus and the calmness that you feel at being a developer when you are working out is like a major hack to me, which is wild. Like being able to like focus and double down on your code when you are working out, I notice a significant improvement on that focus and ability to just get stuff done, which is crazy that you can become like, we talk a lot about developer productivity, and one of the big productivity hacks is try to get into some half decent shape, and that will certainly help you in your day-to-day job. So that's one. And then the other one is just like, I don't want to get like old and frail, you know, like I'm starting to get old. I'm 36 years old now. And, I don't want to be like that 45-year-old that has a bad back and type of thing. Like I carried all three of my kids up the stairs because I saw a TikTok where a dad carried his three kids, and I was like, our kids are bigger than that. And I did it. I carried all three of them upstairs in like one go. Like, so we're having a fourth kid. And my goal is to be able to Hulk all four kids up in one go. So that's, oh my gosh. That's me.
Kids will humble you on the strength tip. I've been lifting for so long, and then like the first time I had to carry the little baby car seat? The little cradle car seat? Yeah, the first time I had to carry that thing for an extended period of time, I was like, holy cow, this is way more intense than going to the gym.
Yeah, the dad strength is totally different.
It's totally different, the strength required to do this. I was thinking, I was like, man, how do people who don't work out do this? It's so heavy to me. So I 100% agree with you. And I think there's enough to say about like, man, longevity, if you have muscle mass, there's definitely correlations between longevity and muscle mass. I don't want to be the type of person who's also getting old and frail as well. I want to make sure that I maintain my muscle mass to be able to get myself through those stages of life where, you know, if you're not paying attention or whatever, it's going to, you know, sneak up on you. And the next thing you know, said you're 36. I'm 38, just turned 38. And I said I was feeling great on Twitter, and sure I am, but it's definitely feeling harder every year. That's for sure. It definitely, it beats up on you over time. Not like working out, but just like getting older in general. This stuff takes longer to heal. When you do get hurt, you trip and fall. Next thing you know, you're out for too long. And we want to avoid some of that stuff. So, you know, if you're starting out here, you kind of got to know what your goals are. Are your goals for longevity? Are they to get super muscular and look good at the beach? Is it to increase your overall health? Like, what do you want to do here? It's important to know, because all of these things are valid and important, right? And everybody has different reasons for wanting to do it. Mine, I want to be able to do my athletic dance stuff better. I want to be able to feel more comfortable as I age. I want to be able to lift things in a practical way. If I'm working on projects, heck, carrying groceries in the house, carrying kids, I want to be able to do all that stuff with more more oomph, you know? You see that meme where you're holding 20 grocery bags? Give me 30. I'll take them.
Yeah, I had that. So when I built this office, I was carrying drywall like in front of me, and I kept being like, I had like a shoulder injury from back when I was working out last time. And like every now and then it would flare up when I was doing like holding my arms out and trying to lift up at the same time. And it was like that for years. And I finally just like looked it up on, that's why I love TikTok. I just like looked that up on TikTok, and there was a couple TikToks that were like, just hang. So yeah, I just hang. Like went. Oh, yeah. I just went into the gym that I was building, and I just screwed something to the thing, and I hung for like 3 minutes, and it like was like, I'm not trying to like sell you on anything, like certainly talk to your doctor, but like it's gone. Like it never came back. And it had been bugging me for years. And it's wild that like sometimes you think, oh, like I shouldn't work out because this thing is hurting. And no, it's the opposite. Maybe you should be working out to fix those things.
Yeah. The solution to fixing things isn't to go heavy and go hard and all that stuff. But the solution is also not to do anything either, because you do need to prescribe movement into that. But it is incredible how many things hanging can fix, whether that is back or shoulder or lower back or whatever. People buy those expensive inversion tables where it hooks your ankles into the thing and you hang upside down. Well, it turns out that's the exact same as hanging up the other way. There's no difference there. Or you could like pick up a small dumbbell with your feet and hang and just like stretch yourself out. Oh my gosh, it works so well, especially to decompress our spines. We're just kind of like, yeah, we get into that like,
yeah,
you know, compression, shoulders inward mode, whatever. Yeah, hang and stretch it out. Hanging is I'm glad you said that, because that's such a good thing to do on a regular basis.
Yeah, I've been... it's something I do just as my warm up now. I'll just grab onto the pull up bar. I actually in the gym that we built, it's in our basement, and I put monkey bars in the joists so that our kids can do the monkey bars. I built a rock climbing wall up, and then there's monkey bars across, and then down the other side is also a rock climbing wall. And those monkey bars are fantastic for just hanging from without having to, like, they're high enough that I don't have to worry about my feet hitting the ground.
Yeah, that when I saw you do that, Courtney said, hey, can we get this in our house? And I said, I guess so. I'll figure it out. I do have those like stall bars, which I built. They're like super stall bars, which are great. They're just basically like a little wooden dowel ladder. Those things are incredible for all kinds of stuff, whether it's bands or handstands against or hanging off of. But I do wish I had some like monkey bars in that room, because the kids sure love climbing on that stuff. I bet they would climb through the monkey bars too.
Oh yeah.
So let's talk about getting started. You say, okay, hey, all this stuff sounds good. Where do I go? What do I do? Well, to get started, you don't need a whole lot. You can do a whole lot with just your body weight. You can do push-ups in your office while your code is compiling, right? While you're waiting, you got 5 minutes for that next meeting. Hey, you get a little quick pump on, right? Do some push-ups real quick. Body weight squats and lunges. Did you know this? You can just squat up and down, and that's good for you. That'll help you, or do lunges. Or like Wes said, hanging on a bar. You can also do pull-ups on that bar. Even if you can't do pull-ups, you can just try to do pull-ups. That also works. So
yeah,
all of those things are low effort. You don't have to have a gym membership. You can just start doing. You know, you don't have to spend any money here to have some degree of fitness or even whatever. You just have to find the time for it. And there's definitely time for it. Next one is stretching. Hey, I stretch every night. I try to stretch every night. And my habit tracker app that I've been working on, I have a long consecutive streak of stretching right now. And I think that's a hack that not enough people take advantage of, because stretching is one of those things that is relatively easy to do if you make time for it. And guess when is the perfect time to stretch? When you're doing absolutely nothing. You're watching TV. Heck, I stretch with a beer sometimes. I got my hop slam there. I'm watching TV.
That should be the rule.
Perfect time to stretch, right? You know?
Yeah.
So like, you don't have to sit on the couch. A good hack for this is that when you're watching TV, you can make a practice of like, oh, for this entire show, I'm going to sit on the floor. Why? Because when you're sitting on the floor, it's way easy to just lean over and start stretching here and there. You don't have to like go crazy. You don't have to do a gymnastic stretching routine. But heck, just trying to touch your toes or whatever, or grab a towel if you can't touch your toes, wrap it around your foot and use it to pull a little bit, drink some water. Man, that goes a long way. I'm telling you, if you do 10, 15 minutes of stretching most nights, heck, 4 nights a week, whatever, without even thinking about it, you make a massive amount of progress in like 3 months' time. And then by the time you do it for a year, 2 years, whatever, you're Gumby. It's wild. It works.
Yeah, you did a whole episode on stretching because you've read that book, How to Be a Supple Leopard. Is that what it's called?
Great book. Yes.
Yeah. I need to get a little bit more into stretching. I have been doing the squats while I'm brushing my teeth, which is hilarious. But because I've been getting into actual squats, like with the barbell and stuff like that, I've always been very, very inflexible. And it's amazing that like now that I am squatting, I feel like I'm getting a little bit more flexible of how low you can go, because you have to make sure the form is correct and whatnot. So I do that. And then like, yeah, when I'm watching TV or something like that, or often our couch is really low, like the back of it. So I'll throw my leg up on there and try to get a bit of a stretch in as well.
Yeah. Yeah. That is such a good tip. You know, another good one, we talked a little bit about something that goes a long way, especially for people with, you're sitting in chairs, tight backs, just do the like basic arm swings back and forth. Will obviously you got to like move your head when you do it. It'll just loosen up your spine. It's something I like to do every morning when you're brushing your teeth or whatever. Just get some spine movement in. It'll loop things up and get you ready to go. So I'm a big fan of doing any of that sort of thing. Another really good hack for adding fitness into your life is to do things that don't feel like you're working out. I go to dance once a week. Wes, you take your daughter rock climbing. That's really good fitness. Anything that's like skill-based.
I just watch, but yeah.
Well, yeah, you just watch. I mean, that's a workout for the eyes, but your daughter's getting some exercise in.
Yeah.
Anything that like that feels like play or feels like movement without necessarily being like, oh, I'm lifting weights, I'm going for a run. Let me tell you, I hate running. That's something that you will never catch me doing. But I need cardio in my life. So how am I going to do it? Well, I'm going to go to dance. We have the exercise bike. Guess what I do on the exercise bike? I pull out my Steam Deck and I play Rocket League or video games while I'm on the exercise bike, because it makes the time pass. And I hate doing the exercise bike or cardio. So it makes it easier. Anything you can do to make it fun rather than, oh, I'm going to go work out.
Yeah.
Lastly, here in the getting started thing, we have lifting weights. Now, lifting weights is a hack for getting fit in a lot of ways. If you had to ask me like, hey, Scott, like I want to get more fit in life. It's not necessarily, you know, get muscular or whatever. I just want to get healthier. I would say the number one best thing you can do in that regard is lift weights. You can see a massive amount of progress really quickly. You burn more calories at rest if you have muscle. Muscle burns more calories at rest than fat does. So just by doing nothing, you end up burning more calories. And I like to eat. That means I get to eat more, which is great.
Yeah,
all of those things. But all in all, you get to see a lot of improvement and a lot of progress in lifting. So it's also really motivating to be able to get going. So you might be thinking like, okay, do I just go to the gym and pick up weights? No, you go to someplace like Reddit or YouTube and you find a program. Wes, you're doing a program. What program are you doing and how did you find which program to do?
Yeah. So I started looking around and see what's there. And obviously the big ones is, I think Starting Strength is the one. I'm using an app called, what the hell is it called? Why am I forgetting the name of it? Strong Lifts. That's what I'm using.
Very popular.
And it comes by default, it comes with like a very simple day one and day two. Each day has squats. And then one of the day has a bench press. And I forget what everything is. And it's very, very simple. It's only three things. You can get through the whole thing in probably 45 minutes with decent rests in between. And it's been awesome. I've since like modified it because I wanted a little bit of like, I wanted a little bit more, like I have all this equipment and I want to just change it up and do a little bit different. But I did like, I think 4 months of it, and it just slowly increments the amount that you can do. And if you find it's getting too heavy, you can deload, and it's got a really nice Apple Watch app. So I was amazed that how simple the things could do. Like, yeah, you can get a bunch of equipment, but if you just have some very simple weights and maybe a bit of a squat rack or something that you can put a barbell on, you can get a lot of progress with just some very simple aspects.
Totally. And I think that's the thing that's important is you start slow. You're not going to get a crazy amount of improvements overnight, but you also don't want to get hurt. So you start slow, you follow the program, and the programs typically tell you every workout, you're either adding 5 pounds or 2.5 pounds or whatever to your lifts. You do that, and you can imagine it's extremely logical for those programmers out there. It can feel like a game. You're just slowly adding on every single time. And every single week, it kind of feels about the same difficulty. And next thing you know, you're lifting twice what you used to lift. You look way better. You feel way better. And you're way stronger overall. So the most important things about a program is picking a program, preferably a beginner's program. I did starting strength, which was a good one because it teaches you the main core lifts. And again, it has a very similar thing to strong lifts where it's just, here's what you're doing each workout. You do it, you show up, you just come back the next day or whatever and do what it tells you to do. And you see a massive amount of progress. You don't need to go down the rabbit hole of optimizing yet. You don't need to go down like, oh, what are the best bicep workout? No, you just show up and do all of the things that it tells you to do. Yes.
That's the biggest thing for me.
The biggest hack. Yeah.
You just open the app and it tells you what to do next. There's no guessing. There's no like, is it better to do multiple, like 1,000 reps of something a little bit lighter or 10 reps? Like, don't fuss with any of that. Just simply do what it says on the can and it's going to work out for you, which I've been really happy with that. And also that you said that you start super light. Like my first probably month was just a joke weights because I was like really wanted to nail the form of it, especially because like I was brand new to squats. I had done like a little bit of Smith machine, which is like not really squats and like a bunch of machines at the gym, but like I had never done just like a barbell on a squat rack. And I was like really concerned, and same with deadlifts as well. I was really worried about like throwing your back out or like hurting yourself. So, and also you can do a lot of like bad form with that type of stuff, you know, like if it's too heavy, you'll try to account for that and arch your back. So I like went really, really light for a whole month. It's frustrating because it doesn't feel like you're doing a whole lot, but I was really focusing on getting the form down pat. And I feel like I'm pretty decent with the form these days.
Yeah. And not just like training your mind there to do the correct muscle movements and gaining your form. Another thing you're doing is you're building some of like the smaller muscles, the stabilizing muscles, the ones that come into handy. So that way, when you do get heavier, you're not like unstable or unable to do things at like the bottom of the lifts or the places that you're weak. So you're slowly building up your entire like foundational muscle. You're building this foundation of strength. You're learning the JavaScript, the CSS, and the HTML. So that way you can start to do the reacts and stuff later. And like we said, like you don't have to get crazy into like complex movements or anything like that. There very well may be a time when you're bored. You've done, you know, a year, 6 months of this stuff, and you're like, all right, I got it. I'm making a lot of progress. Like, what can I do to optimize? But don't try to get too deep and don't try to optimize first. Just show up, right?
One more thing I want to talk about is like how often should you do this type of thing? So I have it down to pretty much an hour from putting my shoes on to being done, which is quite a bit. So like that includes setting up, getting changed, all of that. And it's been a major, major improvement, like with not having to like drive to the gym or something like that. And like, I know people say like, oh, don't have excuses and whatnot, but having it at home has been a major improvement for that type of thing. And I generally will do it about 3 or 4 times a week. My wife and I take turns putting our kids to bed. So once a week I put the kids to bed three times, and the other week I put them to bed four times a week. So basically the nights that I am not putting my kids to bed, I go downstairs and I get to go work out in the gym. And that's been so dead simple for me because I know what I'm doing that night.
Yeah. If you can find an hour in the day, 4 days a week, 3 days a week, if you can find an hour 3 days a week, I mean, I feel like most people can find 1 hour on 3 days a week to improve your life.
Oh yeah. This way. I spend longer on Twitter or TikTok than I do at the actual gym.
Totally. Yeah.
You can go on Twitter while you're resting. Yeah.
Yeah. All of those things.
One thing I love about the Strong Lifts app is that it will buzz at you when it's time to put the phone away and do your next set. Cause it's slippery slope if you forget about that thing.
I know, no kidding, right? But I do think that's important that you mentioned like the home gym thing. Having a home gym is a hack. That doesn't mean it has to be expensive. Doesn't mean you have to have a fancy weight rack. It doesn't mean anything. My first squat rack and the one that I had up until very recently when we sold it for the same price that we paid for it 10 years later, I sold the pandemic, which was a great idea because I essentially rented this thing for 10 years. But you can get a squat rack for really cheap, especially someplace like Dick's Sporting Goods or Facebook Marketplace or whatever. You can find these things out there. And for you know, $300, if you're saving up for that, $300 will get you a long, long ways. You can get it for less than that. You can buy
easy.
A set of dumbbells and get it for way less than that. But I got mine on Black Friday at Dick's Sporting Goods, and the rack itself was $150, brand new. And it's like, I'll take that all day. But if you can find some room to put it in your basement. I had a buddy who had a small apartment, and he was on like the fifth floor in Denver, and he still found a way to get a squat rack into that little tiny apartment in his living room. So if you can find the room for it, man, you can like that hour to go to the gym becomes that much easier. Anytime can find, you just roll over in. So it's a big hack. I've been a huge home gym fan for a long time. Heck, I put our first one at our house in Denver in the garage and nowhere else to put it. That's a place, if you have a garage, you can always, classic home gym spot is the garage. It also will test your mental fortitude out if you're in the winter. That can be kind of intense.
Freezing. There's guys in this Facebook group that have barbell warmers because like it's those barbells get cold. It's like a heat sink. And I know, you can get folding racks now. And it's amazing. Racks. Some of these setups that take maybe 10 inches deep. Your whole gym can be on the thing. And obviously you got to pull the car out or move some stuff when you go to use it, but everything will just fold out and you can get using it. You don't need a whole bunch of space to make it work.
Totally. Yeah. A lot of little hacks there, but the home gym is a big one. So like what kind of stuff might you want in your home gym? You could go really minimal and get a set of the adjustable dumbbells and maybe a bench. Adjustable dumbbells and a bench will get you a long ways. You can do everything with those, from squat to bench press. You can do everything with a set of adjustable dumbbells. And they're not necessarily cheap, but like Wes has gotten lucky with some Facebook Marketplace finds and stuff like that. You can always keep an eye on it, but nothing is as versatile as a set of adjustable dumbbells. They'll give you increments from all the way from zero or all the way from like 2.5 pounds to 90 pounds at 2.5 pound increments. Like that's versatile. You get so far from that. Next step up, go with the half rack. I had a half rack. That's what I had. It was just a basic rack, barbell, and it stand up, so it didn't fall over, and that's all that matters. And then a bench. With a rack and a bench, you can put a little bit more weight on that thing. Gives you a little bit more access to do the movements like a bench press easier. You usually have safeties on it, so you can set it down easily without hurting yourself when you get into heavier weights. But those are all like a good next step. And then next thing you know, you got a glute ham deck in your basement like I do. Which
that's
I did
what
get
you
that
have,
on.
Right?
Yeah, I got that in an open box at a rep fitness in Denver. It was a good buy. I use it very frequently.
Yeah, the adjustable dumbbells are awesome. So I found a set of 90-pound power blocks at a yard sale for $50, which is like it's like a $1,000 set. So I was really happy with that. And then I found another set on Marketplace that was missing one of the increments. So the guy just had them like spilled out on the floor, but I knew the color. So I like looked at the colors in the photo and I offered him $20 for it and he took it. And then I just contacted Powerblock and they sent it to me for the cost of shipping. So I have two sets of them, and you can also buy like a bar and a curl bar that go into the Powerblock. So it'll turn it into a, yeah. So those are pretty cool as well. I also had a set of the Bowflex ones that like turn. Those are garbage. They're so long. They're not garbage. Mm. I know a lot of people like them, but they're really long. So it's kind of hard to, like, if you were to curl them, they like hit your leg as you're curling them. Yeah. So Rep has a set as well. They just released a thing called the Quick Draw dumbbells, and they seem really, really nice.
Yeah. I've had my Powerblocks forever though. Like that was one of the first pieces of equipment that we got, and they're indestructible. They've lasted forever.
Oh yeah. Mine are from the early 90s. Like they're probably almost as old as I am, and they will last forever. Like I'm part of the Facebook group, and I see there's like Nuo bells and these ones where you turn the handle and they click up. Those guys, they fall off a bench, the whole thing breaks. Mm-hmm. They're a little bit more fussy. They're nice. They look better, but the Powerblocks are just like so primitive. You slide the little thing in and you get the amount of weight that you want, and you can put the 2.5 pounds into the handle. They will last you forever.
Yeah.
But let's talk about what else we have in the home gym. So Scott was saying you can get a little 2-post rack. I went with the 6-post rack. So I contacted a manufacturer and got the whole thing custom made, which is really cool. It was technically cheaper than just going directly to like a retail. And it's really cool because I got my logo laser cut into all of the pieces, and it has a whole cable system in it. So it has a low row, lat pull down, and then 2 adjustable pulleys that you can put on there. So quite honestly, I use the whole cable system with the weight selector stack. I use that for a lot of my barbell exercises aside from squats and deadlifts and bench press, because it's just so simple to clip on the little bar and adjust it rather than having to schlep the whole weights on. So big fan of that. And you have like a whole cable system as well, right? Like you got rid of your rack?
Yeah, I got rid of my rack because I got the Tonal system, which I'm going to tell you up front, it is very expensive. So only look at this if you're serious. Like I said, I've been lifting for a long time, and we got this thing. It's great. It costs about a gym membership's worth of money all the time, and it's a luxury good. I'll tell you that right now. But what the Tonal does is it's kind of like your app that tells you what to do every day, built into a unit that does magnetic-based weights. And the cool thing about the magnetic-based weights is that it can simulate lifting with chains or lifting with bands or doing like things where it's actually adjusting the amount of weight you're lifting at different parts of the lift. So that way, at like the weak points in the lift, you're maybe getting a little bit less weight, and the points where you're naturally less injury prone, it gives you a little bit more. So it's really kind of awesome. I show up every day. It automatically tells me how much weight I'm lifting. I don't even have to pick up a plate ever. I don't have to calculate anything. I don't have to do the whole math of like, all right, 150 pounds is how many plates here. So as a luxury good, man, this thing absolutely rules if you have the ability to do it. You know, I've been a big fan for a long time. I've gotten 2 years out of mine. In fact, to give you some context about my lifting schedule, I'm now approaching 2 years of weekly usage of this thing. I'm going for that 2-year badge. I want that 2-year badge. I have 127 weeks consecutive of using this thing, and at 130, I get the badge that says I've used it for 130 weeks straight.
Yeah.
I want that badge.
That's good. Yeah. And honestly, like 2 years of using it consistently, and like your wife uses it as well, like that's pretty much what a gym membership would have cost for that type of thing. So
we can share and track each other's workouts. We can do all kinds of stuff on it. I've lifted 5.3 million pounds on it. So yeah, pretty sweet to have those metrics. But
that's,
it's also
cool.
Also good to like see exactly your progress over time. Either way, definitely a luxury good.
What else we have? I have a little leg press in there as well. And
really?
I totally understand what you, I've also been hacking the crap out of my gym because like I've been like cutting metal and building my own little attachments. So I bought like a leg press attachment for a different bench and I adjusted it and cut a couple things and made it work with my bench. And I totally get what you say about with the resistance curve of the cable machine, because with mine, it's, you have your leg, and as you lift up your leg, the last like 20% of the lifting it up is almost nothing. And that's where it should be the heaviest. So I have to take a elastic band and put it on the weight horn so that the further you get away, the more resistance it has. But if it was magnet based, you wouldn't have all that. I also hacked it to work with my cable system as well, because the cable system just goes up and down. So there's you don't have the whole resistance curve issue. Sometimes you do with cable stuff, but not with this one.
Yeah. It's been weird kind of replacing everything since I was doing straight barbell stuff for so long with cables.
Yeah.
But you know, it is really nice because now you can do all of the movements that I would at the gym with a cable system, or I can also do barbell stuff with it as well. I also have Swedish stall bars. I posted a link in the show notes to some Rogue Fitness ones so you can get an idea what these are, but I built mine. You can build it out of, you know, a few slabs of wood and some dowels, which it like really wasn't that hard. It took me a little bit, some glue and some nails, and I had some Swedish stall bars. This thing is great. You can use it with bands. You can hang off of it. I use mine like a monkey. I'm doing upside down on it and stuff. So yeah, big fan.
It looks really cool too. Like I thought about
just
building these on one of our walls just because of how much I love how it looks. I think I might do that at some point. It doesn't take very much space, you know, like it just a couple, like what, half a foot deep or something.
Yep. Yeah. Mine's right up against the wall. It was an easy build, for sure.
Yeah.
So program, you mentioned that you have an app for yours. There's a lot of these apps that cost a lot of money, subscriptions on your iPhone, anything like that. The easiest way to get started with this stuff is just with Google Sheets. You can pop in a Google Sheets. There's a ton of them online. If you're doing starting strength or strong lifts, you just do strong lifts, Google Sheets. There'll be a massive amount of these that people have made on Reddit or wherever. You don't need a whole lot. There's like so many excuses to, you know, working out. The last thing you need is more resistance. Oh, now I got to spend $9 a month on an app. No, you don't.
Yeah.
Just use Google Sheets, whatever. Just get going.
It's amazing how many apps, like I did go down the rabbit hole of trying to find the different apps, and it feels like half the apps out there are made by web developers because it's like, oh, I think I could make something like this. Even like there was one app that I was using when I was learning to squat that would track your up and down, because when I was first starting, I would squat and I would move forward as I was squatting, and that doesn't give you a good bar path. And then I found these apps that will track the circle of the barbell, and it'll overlay it on top of the video to show you how up and down you're going or what your bar path looks like. So if you have a little bit of a wiggle or you're going too far forward at the end of the squat, and like the amount of like self will that I had to not build that was killing me, because I was like, I could do this in Canvas. I could put like a little circle on, or like a data matrix or a QR code. I could just slap that on the end of my barbell. I know how to track QR codes in Canvas, and then I could record the video and overlay it on top and then show my bar path. And I was like, Wes, stop. Like you're not building this. There's already apps out there for it, but
I'm going to tell you,
so much fun stuff you could build.
I've experienced the exact same thing in a very different way here. There's an app that costs like $19 a month. It's outrageous for stretching. That what it does is essentially building a skeleton, whether you're a TensorFlow skeleton or something of you as you're doing a stretch. and it calculates the angle. So let's say you're learning the splits. It'll say this week your angle was 45 degrees. And so that way it's like an actual definitive subjective or objective way to calculate that you are in fact making progress on your stretching. And it's the same thing. I'm like, I could build this. You're just calculating the angles from the video there. And then I wouldn't have to pay. I'm not paying for this app, by the way. That seems like an outrageous amount of money for that. But I know. Same developer problems, right?
What I do like about the StrongLifts app is you can pay monthly, or you can, if you think you're going to use it for more than 2 years, you can just pay a one-time fee. It's pretty expensive, but the Apple Watch integration. Or you could just do a Google Sheet.
The Apple Watch is nice, though, because it buzzes you when you're next set. It's like, all right.
Yeah. I love it. Or like if I only did 4 out of 5 reps, you can say I did 4 reps, and you can look back at that over time and say, I didn't hit that. But like you said, it's not that important versus actually doing it.
Yeah. I would say you start with something lo-fi and work your way up. In fact, I could probably find an old Google Sheet of mine from when I first started, because that's definitely where I started as well. Let's talk about diet really quick. Diet is one of those things that nobody likes to hear, because it actually makes a giant difference in everything. And it sucks to hear that, because I like what I eat. I eat a lot. I don't want to stop eating what I'm eating. But if you're looking for, benefits in terms of like weight loss, you can't do it with just cardio alone. You can't out cardio. You cannot out cardio your calorie intake. So it's always calories in, calories out, and you don't have to calculate it. You don't have to get into the weeds there. So like for me, if you want to say like the 80-20 of this is 6 out of 7 days of the week, cut out the garbage, the pop, the soda, the fast food, the junk, just the junk. Cut out the junk 6 out of 7 days of the week, and you will see an improvement. You don't have to get into crazy salads for lunch or anything like that. Add more chicken, add more just general protein into your diet. Find ways to add protein, and just reach for maybe the protein or healthier option here or there, and it will make an impact. But again, you don't have to like really crazily change your diet entirely. I'm not like one of those health freaks that won't have, fast food here and there. I'll get a Good Times or a burger or whatever and be totally satisfied. But I can't do that most days of the week. So
yeah,
you do need to have a decent diet. Don't make it, one of those things that you can't sustain, because when people make big changes like this, it's impossible to sustain that and to keep that going. But just cut out the junk here and there. Sodas, man. I can't tell you the last time I had a pop, and your body acclimates to it to the point where like you don't even miss it anymore. But occasionally I'll get a Dr. Pepper from the fast food place, and I'll be like, wow, this is a really, really great little treat.
Yeah. It's my biggest tip here is, for me, it was like cut out the beer. Yeah, even like heavy. Maybe once a week I'll have it, which it makes you feel a lot better as well. You're not feeling like garbage. It's nice in the time, but it doesn't make you feel good the rest of the week. So for me, it was mostly just cutting out the beer. I already eat pretty heavy protein. I've always been somewhat low carb, but just trying to focus on actually doing that. And my biggest tip for people is if you don't necessarily know these things, grab one of these tracker apps and run it for a month or two and track everything you eat. And you're going to get a really good feeling of actually if you should have that or not, or sort of like where it is. That's generally what I'll do as well, is I'll track things for a month or two when I'm just starting out. And then you get a really good feeling for like how much budget you have for these types of things. And then after that, you have a good feeling, and you don't have to stress over absolutely every single thing. And I feel like that's a pretty good one. And Scott just pasted a link here for the Macro Factor app. That's Scott Sick picked it a while ago. It is so good. I had been using like the Daily Burn one for many, many years. And then they nuked it or started charging for it. The Macro Factor app is very, very good. It's amazing. Really, I can't believe it. The UI is just,
The UI is great. It's one of those things too. It's made by lifting professionals. They're like not you know, they know what they're doing. It's not some big corpo. It's like some guy who started this, who does a podcast I like. But you know, what's great about this app, like you said, is visibility. You don't need to get crazy into calorie tracking unless you're not seeing any progress in your weight loss journey. If that's what you're looking for, if you're looking for weight loss and you're like, why are things not moving? Well, Macro Factor will find that out instantly for you. For me, like, I greatly underestimated the little snackies that I had here. On my desk is a fig bar, you know, and these little bars.
Those
my
are problem, good.
These are great.
Randy's got one too.
Randy's got one too. Yes. They're fantastic. My problem is I'd pop a two or three of them a day, not like Newtons themselves, but actual packages. Cause you're just like, oh, they're little, whatever. I'm just grabbing them. Next thing you know, that's 600 calories. And then I'd rather be eating 600 calories or something else, but I'm doing it cause I'm bored or whatever. And if you don't realize where you're adding the calories, you don't realize it. And so the Macro Factor will show you.
Sneak up on you.
Yeah, exactly. Like where that burden is coming from, and then you can adjust from there. And it also makes you very cognizant, for me personally, because it breaks down by your macronutrients. So like what I was seeing, man, I was getting way too many carbs and way too much fat and not enough protein in my diet. And that was like the biggest thing for me. It's like your daily protein goal based on your weight and you know what you're looking to do is this. And I would get like 10% of that. I'd be like, how is that possible? I feel like I'm eating a lot of protein, but it was possible. I just wasn't eating enough. I was eating the wrong things. So yeah, it'll open your eyes, but you don't need to subscribe to it. You don't need to do it like daily for the rest of your life. Do it for a couple weeks, get the feel for what's going on, and then you'll get the vibe for where you need to be. But yeah, you know, diet's one of those things that's touchy. It's interesting, and it all depends on what your goals are. Lastly here, before we get into like supplements and stuff, motivation. The motivation can be all sorts of things, but how do you get motivation to get to the gym? For me, the motivation is that, like you said, Wes, I have more daily energy. I have better daily focus. ADHD folks, it's a scientifically proven that if ADHD folks work out, their focus is better. Their mood is better. Depression mood is better, clinically proven. So if you're suffering from those things, I don't want to say like, I'm not a doctor, go do the studies and stuff yourself. Don't take my word for it. Go look it up, but it could make you feel better in all kinds of ways, could give you better general comfort. And if those kind of like external or those kind of internal motivations aren't big enough, you can get some external motivations. Like for instance, have a workout buddy, somebody you always go to the gym with. Just like showing up to do the podcast, they're expecting you there. You show it up, you show up every day. And next thing you know, you got, 770 episodes of the podcast. Next thing you know, you're super swole, look great at the beach. So who knows?
Let's talk about supplements. What we're taking every day. I take just basically a bunch of vitamins, supplements. I'm trying to remember what they all are. I bought like a little, one of those like pill containers that has like AM and PM thing in there. And I'm trying to remember what is in there. Like a protein powder I'll take every day, fish oil every single day, a multivitamin, a D3 and K2 supplement, a magnesium supplement. And I think there's a few more in there that I'm totally forgetting. Basically once a week, I'll go through all the bottles and refill it. I can't tell you if it's working or not, but I think they're good for you.
Yeah, there's a rabbit hole with supplements. Some of them are expensive. You don't need to spend a lot of money on supplements. I think the big thing for most people, if you are lifting weights, you want to make sure you're getting enough protein in your diet. Protein shakes are a great way to accomplish that. You don't have to spend a crazy amount of money because they can be expensive, or you can spend a crazy amount of money and get some fancier protein shakes. Either way, protein shakes are good if you're lifting weights. Daily vitamin, I just do a men's daily. Some people question whether or not that's needed. I just do it just to be sure. It's not hurting me. I do a krill oil for my omega-3s because Costco has it and they're little and cheap. Probiotic, I do that for my tummy. My tummy's not great, so a probiotic is something that helps me get the good bacteria in my tummy. Magnesium helps me sleep. And then psyllium husk I take for fiber because we're also mostly not getting enough dietary fiber in our day-to-day life. And psyllium husk is literally just like crushed up husk into a pill capsule. You can take, you know, three of them at dinner, three of them at breakfast. Next thing you know, your dietary fiber needs are completely met without having to eat a massive amount of vegetables. I mean, eating vegetables is good. It's great. But the psyllium husk makes it easy no matter what. So that's what I take. I don't take anything too crazy. Oh, I also take creatine. Creatine for your muscles. It's proven to be one of the most effective supplements. It helps you recover your muscles better, has really not a lot of important, you know, negative downsides or anything like that. There's really no reason not to take creatine if you're lifting weights.
Yeah, I've been scooping that one in as well. The only thing I don't like about it, it's not extremely water soluble. It's gritty. So you just I've been mixing it with my protein shakes, which is decent, but it's still a little gritty.
I'll tell you what I do for this because I don't like that either. This is going to sound outrageous because creatine is like, it's super cheap. Creatine is super cheap. You do one little scoop of it in your protein shake and you get over the grit. It feels fine. What I do is I take 7 creatine pills at dinner. 7. They're like massive. I do that because I don't like the grit. I feel so,
swallow such a baby that many. Doing that.
Yeah, I don't mind taking pills. These are cheap. They're from Bulk Supplements on Amazon. Bulk Supplements is always good prices for stuff. So, it's not like a huge problem in my life, but I have chosen to take a pill for it. 7 pills. I asked Courtney the other day. I was like, hey, you want to, you should be taking creatine. Do you want to just do 1 scoop in your drink every day? Or do you want to take 7 pills at dinner? And she was just like, why would I ever take the 7 pills at dinner? That feels like a ridiculous question. So,
sweet. Awesome. Well, hopefully you enjoyed a thing or two with that. Let's get into some sick picks. I'm going to sick pick something that I bought for my gym that I've been really enjoying. And that is a set of resistance bands. And I bought this set. Basically, what I've learned is that all of these resistance bands are exactly the same. Spend a shootload of money on the Rogue Fitness ones, but the Ace Pow Nom Wom whatever ones from Amazon are the exact same thing. And they are, so I bought the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 set of 6 resistance bands, and they are fantastic. So I use them in a couple of ways. First of all, I've been trying to like get my squat knee over toe a little bit better on one side. I twisted my ankle like 10 years ago, and I realized that side I have less mobility than my other side. So I've been doing a bunch of stretches with the band pulling on your foot to try to get it. There's this really good guy, YouTube, TikTok, Squat University, and he's more of like a rehab doctor that focuses on people who do weightlifting. And he has lots of really good tips of like how to overcome those limitations. And one of them was to put a resistance band on your foot and stretch it out that way. And then the other way I use it is I have the pull-up bar, and I can't do like 10 pull-ups, you know? I can maybe do 4. Okay. So you're put like one of the thinner ones and do assisted pull-ups. And you just put your foot, I put 2 band pegs into the rack and wrap a band around that. And then you put your feet on it, and that mimics like you being like 25, 30 pounds lighter. And then you're able to do the pull-ups. So if you're having trouble getting the pull-ups done, check out the resistance bands.
Yeah. Speaking of pull-ups, my daughter finally stopped wearing pull-ups, and it's been awesome, finally. We are officially out of diapers, Wes. We are out of diapers and out of pull-ups, and that is a wild place to be right now. So I'll sick pick these booty bands because, like you said, with the resistance bands, these things are super cheap. You can find a ton of different ones, but unlike the resistance bands tend to stretch a whole lot, right? These are much tighter and for like more like leg based types of things. And they're much more, a lot of resistance. So, these are work really well for doing like sidestepping or,
cool.
Keeping your knees together. And again, they're mostly drop shipped, whatever, but these ones are $14 and they're cloth and they have some elastic on the inside to attach to you. But we've bought these ones in 2021 and we still use them every other workout or so. So they've held up super well. And I use it all the time, even for just anything where I'm trying to increase the sides of my legs or gain stability there. So in that regard, nice little piece of equipment here. Well, that's it. I don't have anything else. Wes, anything else?
That's it. Parting thoughts? Today, let us know what you do. I'd love to see. I'll send Randy some photos of my gym and we can overlay them on the video, but love to see photos of yours and any other tips you have. Just tweet us at Syntax FM. All right. Word. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.
Peace.